Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, September 15th, 2015. And with me today, John Martellaro. Hey, John.
Hey, I just got out of class, Vulcan Academy of Sciences.
You know, I'm so glad that they followed their strict schedule because it makes it so much easier for us to know when we can record.
Yeah, I had to run over here real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey, you know, they're punctual people, so that's really cool. Love them Vulcans. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I'm terrible, man. I'm sitting in a house devoid of coffee beans, which means that there is no espresso in my future until I go get some.
This is actually a tragedy.
It is catastrophic proportions. Let's do the show, man. I can get through it just fine.
I'm sure you can't. I believe in you, Brian.
I can see the sweat dripping off Brian through the glass.
Yeah, you're strong, Brian. You can do this. This might lift your spirits.
Yes.
Our sponsor today is Harry's, the razor company.
Oh, nice.
See? I thought you might like
that. I'm already
feeling better. Yeah, I thought you might be. Hey, the first thing that I wanted to talk about today is this rumor that I found this morning that the iPad Air 3, even though there was no announcement for it last week at Apple's media event, is coming this fall.
Oh, thank goodness.
I know. Isn't that just like the most wonderful news?
I mean, yes, I want a 3. I want an iPad Air 3.
Okay, so now here's what the rumor says. The iPad Air 3 is going to have the same specs as the iPad Pro.
As it should.
Or better specs than the iPad Pro.
As it won't. Actually, I think I missed that one when we talked about this.
Yeah, and that it's going to get announced in October. And that what they're saying is that we're going in October to get the iPad mini or the iPad Pro mini.
So Apple will have another big keynote event and we'll have one item, the iPad Air 3, which, oh, we forgot about.
Yeah.
Right. No, yeah. Not gonna.
Well, you're poo-pooing this rumor already.
I am totally poo-pooing it.
I can smell it. But the rumor is not that Apple's going to have a keynote event to announce this device. The rumor is that Apple is going to announce this device.
Yes. And it's a pretty significant device. I mean, this is a substantial
update. Okay. I hear what you're saying. And you're saying to me that if it was going to be a significant device, that Apple would have announced it last week. Here's the deal. If Apple wanted the focus to be on Apple Pencil and iPad Pro,
mm-hmm.
The company could easily, Tim Cook could have easily decided to declutter the keynote and talk about the device that they actually want people thinking about.
Sure. I'm totally with you. And I can see Apple doing exactly that. Now, the other side of that is, why would Apple clutter its product landscape and give people options they don't want them to have yet by introducing the iPad Pro Mini, meaning the iPad Air 3, in October when the iPad Pro gets released in November?
I can answer that. I think I have an answer.
Okay.
So I think that because we didn't get an iPad Air 3, that there's an iPad Air 3 coming down the line. And the iPad Air 3 next year will inherit, if things work out for the iPad Pro, the iPad Air 3 may inherit some of the advanced characteristics of the iPad Pro and say, you know, like the ability to have that keyboard and pencil. Because right now the pencil is restricted to just the iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe this person got wind of the iPad Air 3 coming next year that will be an upgrade and still be 9.7 inches and inherit some of the features of the iPad Pro, but he just jumped the gun a little early.
Now, that seems totally plausible to me. My expectation is that next year we'll get an updated iPad Air, so the iPad Air 3, mm-hmm. and that it will get some of the features that come with an iPad Pro.
I think, yes.
but it's not coming this fall.
Nope.
Okay, first of all, the biggest reason why I'm all about this rumor is because I want an iPad Air 3. I'll admit it.
Projecting much?
Yeah,
I totally understand. Projecting. I'm still on the first generation iPad Air.
From an Occam's Razor standpoint, it actually makes more sense that Apple would refresh the iPad Air this fall than it not.
I disagree with you and Occam. I think it makes more sense for Apple not to refresh the iPad Air this fall, unless it's going to be just like a minor performance bump where they don't even really need to make an announcement. But it's not going to be a significant upgrade because they want the focus to stay on iPad Pro.
My position is that it makes more sense for Apple to update the iPad Air one way or another, be it a major update, be it a minor update. For Apple not to refresh the Air this fall is weird. It's really, really weird. Apple has not done this with a major product line before.
They left the Apple TV not updated for a long time. They can leave the iPad Air too, which is pretty thin and pretty cool.
That's not even vaguely comparable.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Not even vaguely comparable. And it wasn't a year. It was like 3 years. You think Apple is not going to update the iPad Air for 3 years?
It's just not time yet.
What do you mean it's not time yet?
It's pretty thin. It's got an A8. It's fast.
Every year
these things
get updated. It's not time yet? That is like the most apologetic thing I've ever heard in my life. That's ridiculous. It is time. It is precisely time for Apple to update the Air 3. Doesn't mean that they will. But it is precisely the time when they do it.
Well, we know that Apple kind of tends to only focus on one thing at a time, and the iPad Pro is what their focus was.
So
I have a question for you guys.
When we got new iPad Minis and new iPad Airs?
Yeah, did you notice the iPad Mini 4 was talked about for all of about 4 seconds?
Yes. And the iPad Air wasn't even mentioned at all. The only reason we knew it still existed was because it was on the slide showing prices.
Yeah. Well, speaking of prices, do you guys have any thoughts on this iPad Pro having only two memory configurations, 32, skipping over the sweet spot of 64 and then jumping to 128? I mean, I can understand 128 for a pro-level device, but 64 gig instead of 32 has always been kind of the sweet spot, but it's missing.
I think they did that because they wanted to have a more affordable entry point for people that can't or just simply refuse to spend the money on the version they want us to buy, which is the 128 gig model.
More specifically, there are education and corporate uses.
Sure.
For minimal configurations that make a lot of sense that don't really apply to us as consumers. I mean, I personally hate that Apple has a 16 gig iPhone. I think it's ridiculous.
I think it's ridiculous. I get why they do it.
I don't.
It's what you just said. They need to have that base configuration.
We're talking about a few bucks.
What I've heard, it's more than a few bucks. The change of going from 16 to 32 is not like going from 32 to 64, because there's something different about the way the memory is installed or sized or something. But the jump from 16 to 32 is significant, and the jump from 32 to 64 is trivial.
Hmm.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong, I am certain we have listeners that totally know how this works and will set me straight.
Yeah, it might have something to do with the address bus on a 64-bit chip, too. Just a guess. Oh, swag.
I love how you can just throw around the big words like that, John.
I like how he can throw out an apologist position that it's not time to update the iPad Air and like somehow get away with it.
Now, I think it is time, Brian, for Apple to update the iPad Air. Mm-hmm. And I think, John, that they will not. I think that we're going to have the iPad Air 2 through the end of the year, and we won't see any significant changes in it until next year.
I agree with Jeff.
which really bums me out, man, because I would love to have an iPad Air 3. My iPad Air, first generation, is feeling a little long in the tooth right now.
Yeah, I've got the Air, and it's a great device, and it will continue to be capable for me. I do actually see some performance issues with a few games.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot bring myself to pay money for the Air 2.
I'm with you.
I still have an iPad Air.
I mean, and I wouldn't even have the original Air if my iPad 3 hadn't shattered. I would have waited until the 2 came out. But as it is, my iPad 3 shattered, and I had to upgrade. And so I got what was available, which was the Air. And it was only a few months before the 2 was going to come out, and it was quite the bummer. But now I want a 3.
I want an iPad Pro.
See, I'm being a total glutton.
Magazine here. and book heaven.
I want an iPad Pro with pencil, and I want an iPad Air 3.
With pencil.
Yeah, yes, I would love to have pencil support on the iPad Air 3.
Now, I could see Apple delaying that. That to me actually makes the most sense, that Apple would update the Air, but certainly not include pencil support until the 4, whatever comes out next year.
I think Apple might want to see how this iPad Pro thing works, whether it's a dud or whether it's a winning product, in the sense that, you know, it's not going to subsume and take over iPad sales, but if it achieves 3 to 4 million a year, you know, 15-20% of Apple's sales of all iPads, they're going to say, well, you know, well, this is not attractive. I think the iPad Pro could account for 20% of all the iPad sales. And if
projecting
it does,
much?
It's a hit.
Projecting much?
Yeah, that's what
there's
I think.
No way, man. There's no way this thing takes more than 10%.
Technologies will trickle down to the iPad Air 3. But if it doesn't, if it's just a dud and falls flat, then Apple may go in a different direction with the iPad Air 3. So this gives them some liberty.
That doesn't make any sense at all. That makes no sense. I am not in the John Martellaro camp on this, sir.
Be logical.
Yeah, John, I think this is all about Apple keeping the focus on the iPad Pro.
Well, that too.
And that's all it comes down to. All right, so what we've established is that we all really want an iPad Air 3, and that John and I are more willing to accept that it's not coming this fall than Brian is.
No, I really don't think it's coming this fall. I just think that it should.
Being willing to accept that.
Yeah. No, I was playing the straight man for most of that conversation. I don't think it's happening, but I think that it should happen. I mean, yeah. I'll leave it at that.
All right, I'm with you. Okay, hey, we have a sponsor this week, and our sponsor is Harry's, the razor company. And I'm a pretty particular about my razors, and for me to be excited about Harry's, that's a pretty big thing, people, because I don't let just anything go scraping across my face, which sounds kind of weird. Anyhow, so Harry's, what they did was they actually bought a factory. So they make their own blades, and they are substantially higher quality than other disposable cartridges that I have used from the grocery store and the drugstore. And they cost a fraction of what you're going to pay in the store. So what I did was I picked up the Truman kit, and that's a starter kit, and it has a handle. It has like 3 or 4 blades with it, and a little cover for the blades when they're on the handle, so that you can throw it into your travel kit and it's not going to go all Sweeney Todd on you. And I'm glad you got that, Brian. And then you can also choose from a shaving foam, a shaving gel, and they package it all up and send it to you. It costs $15. I mean, that's it, $15. And then getting replacement blades is so inexpensive. It's crazy cheap to get blades from them. And they just send everything to you. You can sign up to get stuff delivered on a regular schedule. You know, like if you know how much you're going to be using and you don't want to have to think about remembering to reorder, they can take care of that for you. Or you can just go and order what you want when you need it. It's great. So $15 for that Truman kit. And if you go to their website, harrys.com, that's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, and use the discount code TDO, you're going to get $5 off your first order. So that means for only 10 bucks, you can get that Truman kit delivered right to your house. And that's a really awesome deal. So go check it out, harrys.com, use the discount code TDO, get yourself a fantastic razor with really great blades. And for me to sing their praises, that's really saying a lot, people. Thank you, Harry's, for being our sponsor. Okay. The other thing I wanted to look at real quick before we wrap up is this this thing that that this one developer did.
That Dave has?
This thing that Dave has. Okay, that's an inside joke for everyone.
Sorry about that. We're just going to
leave it right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's this developer that decided he wanted to figure out how much RAM the iPhone 6S, 6S Plus, and iPad Pro really have. Now, these are not devices we have in our hands yet. And
so we can't just run an app that tells us because we don't have them.
Right. So what this guy did was really cool. What he did was he wrote an app in Xcode that displays a specific graphic on screen based on the RAM in a device. And then he fired up the iPhone and iPad simulator in Xcode, ran his application, and waited to see what images showed up. Now, the simulator simulates specific hardware configurations. So even though you don't have a literal iPhone 6S in your hand, as far as the app is concerned, when it's running in the simulator, it's on a physical device. So Apple has to have all the correct specs for all their hardware built into the simulator. So when he ran his app and on the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus, it came up with his graphic for 2 gigabytes. Well, there you go. That means the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus really do have double the memory of the iPhone 6. And that's really cool.
I got to talk about this.
I am
so annoyed. I think this is brilliant what the developer did. Mr. Sood was brilliant, and it's helpful, and we all know now what the RAM is. But why do we have to go through these hoops? Why does Apple play gamesmanship with their specs? Now, I understand Apple's focus on the usability and the quality and the features of the phone, and they don't like specsmanship, but they do have technical spec pages, and they go into some detail on the LTE bands, but that's useful to know for overseas travelers. They go into some detail about the storage, but every once in a while you look at Apple spec page, like for the Apple TV comparison chart, and they're coy about the HDMI version, and now they're coy about what the RAM is. Why don't they just come out and tell us? You know, they're always playing these games, and it's so annoying. We need brilliant developers to kind of give us this leak. And then we're so overjoyed that we discovered something that Apple was trying to hold a secret, when the amount of RAM in your device shouldn't be a secret at all. It's just crazy.
It shouldn't be a secret at all. I am absolutely in the John Martellaro camp on this one, sir.
You know, I agree with both of you. Apple should just tell us. I mean, they tell us how much RAM is in our Mac. Why not let us know how much RAM is in our iPhone or iPad?
Well, There is an aspect of this Apple's use, the things that Apple is able to do with its RAM and all its hardware, is in a completely different league from what, say, Android device makers can do, mm-hmm. what Android devices can do. And so, you know, looking at, say, a 2 gig device on that's Android and a 2 gig iPhone, it's not really an apples to apples comparison at all.
Right.
And I think that that's one thing that Apple has wanted to avoid all this time. But it does, you know, it does kind of run into this bit of reality that we shouldn't have to play games to find out. So I don't know what the right answer is.
Yeah, it's. I don't know what the right answer is either. I totally get that Apple has their reasons for not sharing that information. I think a lot of it does have to do with it's not a reasonable comparison with Android devices. And if Apple has those numbers out there, then it's a case of potentially falling back into what we had to deal with during the PC war days, where people were promoting devices not based on their capabilities, but based on numbers on a page. And Apple has been able to, for the most part, keep the iPhone out of that sort of fight.
Remember the megahertz wars?
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. So,
and we saw this even with mobile devices. We saw this a little bit in the early days when Android fans would crow about having more RAM in some new crappy device from Samsung or LG or HTC or someone like that. And you know, compare it to what the iPhone had, and in reality the iPhone was using its lesser amount of RAM much better than the other devices using the larger amount of RAM. And so we've seen that, but at the same time I think we're kind of past that. Maybe we can get past the games now.
Yeah, Apple doesn't need to be so thin-skinned. You know, they can, if they use less RAM, they should tell us why. They tout everything
That's
else.
A good point.
Phil Schiller stands up and gives us incredible geek details during the keynote. Why not explain that?
That's a great point, man.
It is.
I am in the John Martellaro camp on this one, sir.
Yay.
As am I. And we are out of time. So, Brian, thank you for being here today.
Espresso beans.
Yeah, you need to...
I mean, thank you for having us.
Yeah, you need to get some beans in a serious way. John, thank you for being here as well.
Welcome. See you later.
Yes, and Harry's, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website, harrys.com. Use the discount code TDO and pick up one of their starter kits for $5 off. What an awesome deal. I'm so happy with mine. I have the Truman kit, in case you care. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.